came in this morning and I sort of heard and saw everyone else coughing. There was a bag of Halls here that David took, and I have my own supply. I gave Cheryl a bag. So I think we're all in the same family, but make sure you try to keep to your space so we don't get others sick. I was had gotten a sore throat on Tuesday, and usually as a teacher, I know that that's deadly because usually 3 or 4 days later, it goes right down the throat, and I get laryngitis for about 4 or 5 days. So I saw Pastor Albert Friday morning. We meet for prayer, and I told him I had a sore throat. And then all of a sudden, he's turned white and sweating a little bit, and he said, I have a message in my Bible that I could always use. So, but you have to call me by tonight because I need time to prepare it. So I'm going to make it, and so he doesn't have to sweat that much. But it is a privilege to be able to speak this morning because while I don't have any formal seminary training like Pastor Albert or Jesse or other speakers, there is a desire in my heart to speak from God's word and maybe just give a few bits of wisdom or what I've learned in my Christian life. And as been mentioned a few times, we just recently at a conference called Be Encouraged. And this was last month. And this is coming toward the end of the year. And at this conference, they had some great, great speakers. Is Ravi Zacharias, intellectual, very, very learned, very eloquent. Spoke very, very well. Great points. Francis Chan was the other speaker. He's my idol, of course. He's Asian. He was fiery. Spoke from his heart. Was very enthusiastic. And then the pastor of the church, Jim Cimbala, who was more low-keyed, gave a very simple message. But yet was just as powerful. And so I'm hoping to gather some of that and bring it all into just a little bit today. And I don't think that I'll be able to imitate them, but I think I want to be able to stress a few things about the purpose of this morning's message is to remind all of us what God has done, how faithful he has been, and to encourage you to run the race and to finish well. All right, let's pray this morning. Father, as we gather here today, we pray especially for your spirit to guide us. Pray that you just might give me the words in which to use that might have some small impact in the lives of those who are your faithful servants, that as we pause to reflect on all that you have done, on your faithfulness to us, and the lessons that we can learn together, that we know that you are a God that accomplishes so much through each one of us. So we pray and thank you, Lord, for this time together, that we certainly might be open to your leading and as you guide us to truly open our hearts, Lord, to hear from you. For we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So today I want to look at the book of Deuteronomy. So where you had your scripture reading, if you opened it, just keep it there. And as a quick background, this is the fifth book that was written by Moses. And Deuteronomy is a very, very important book because it covers such a wide range of things in the lives of the Israelites. And so this book was written just before Moses died, and it really reflects how important he was able to, in this book alone, record all of the historical information about all the different years that had transpired of the Israelites, and also giving some practical advice to the Israelites about what they need to do. So Moses focused on three specific areas. The first, what God has done for us. That is, he reviewed all the different miracles and all the great things that he did for the nation of Israel. And so, as we know, the Israelites, they were slaves for 400 years. 400, imagine that. All the generations, they were all slaves. And yet we see the miracle that God performed and what he did for them. He set them free. And so as Moses records this, now the Israelites are wandering in the desert for 40 years. So that's the first part of the book in Deuteronomy. In the second part, Moses focuses on the Ten Commandments. This is where the Ten Commandments are given. It's important here because it provides the daily principles for godly living that the Israelites were supposed to follow. So when the Israelites obeyed, they were blessed. However, when they disobeyed, all right, they faced misfortune and they faced more years of traveling. So it was a time for them really to learn and hear from God. And when they listened, they were blessed. When they disobeyed, not that they were cursed, but bad things happened to them. And the last part of Deuteronomy was Moses telling the Israelites to be committed. So this was a call to a commitment to God. Why? Because God set them free. Well, after you've been set free, here's what you need to do. And so God still calls all of us, all right, to be committed, all right, to love him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. So what was the purpose of God then leading them for 40 years? I mean, didn't God know where the promised land was? And didn't the Israelites follow God wherever God said, this is where I'm going to be? All right, this is where the cloud is. This is where the Israelites went. This is where the cloud is. This is where the Israelites went. So why didn't God just take them to the promised land? This travel, this race, this road was to humble the Israelites, to test them, to see what they are made of, and to see where their heart really was. We know that God remained faithful to the Israelites. At the same time, we also know that the Israelites did not remain faithful. They disobeyed, and many of them were denied entrance into the promised land. So today I want to look at the life of the Israelites, the race that they ran, the time that they took to travel, with the analogy of our Christian life. At this point in my life, I've reached, I guess, a number of milestones. Over the course of almost 40 years, I was the first Asian athletic director. I was inducted into the Baruch Hall of Fame. I was the longest tenured athletic director in the whole city university. I have a collection of plaques, trophies. But I mentioned this not to brag or just say, well, these were my great accomplishments, but to indicate that some of these goals and priorities in my life were misplaced. In the Christian life that we run, I've had time to reflect on some of these accomplishments and achievements, and I realize that these accolades, these achievements, have earned man's praise and approval, but they've missed God's plan and purpose for my life. So as my trophies and plaques gather dust, they'll starting to collect us, I know one day that they'll end up in the garbage. So this will have very, very little meaning for me at the end of my life. And so as I've pondered and as God has given me this gift of retirement, it's given me another chance to run the race, but not just to run the race, but to finish well. In running the race, you know, I recognize my mistakes, my weaknesses, and I want to be able to share some of the things that I've learned so that we finish the race well. So when I get to the point of running the race, okay, as you can see, this is the New York City Marathon. This is a road race. This is a race that people admire. This is a race that sometimes, if you look at your own life, your own working life, they call the rat race. All right, this is not something that I think we want to involve ourselves in. It's just an image, an analogy. But once we accept Christ as Lord and Savior, all right, we're all part of the Christian race. You're automatically in it. At the same time as you look at this picture, as well as in your Christian life, we know that it's easy to drop out. There are things that we need to do. We need to endure. We need to persevere. And then we need to eventually finish the race. How many Christian friends, family, and other people that have started out strong for the Lord have dropped out, have never made it to the finish line? They got discouraged. They were frustrated. They allowed Satan to dangle things before all of our eyes. What society believes in, materialism, wealth, power, success, even the ultimate dream. But the American dream is not a Christian goal or a concept. It doesn't exist. Look in the Bible. The American dream does not exist. In our society, yes, that's the prize. And people are running the race that we saw for a prize. All right, the first person to finish the marathon gets a trophy and $100,000. That's a prize for running that race. When we as Christians run our race, that's not our goal. When we talk about some disciplines that we need to have as Christians, these disciplines, when we're running our Christian race, enhance our character, it enhances our thinking, and therefore should enhance what we do. Some of them would include prayer, solitude, meditation, fellowship, worship, confession, witness. We all know that we don't consistently show and follow these disciplines the way we should. Some are more meaningful to others, some are less meaningful. But if we work hard at these disciplines, we know that we need most of these disciplines in our spiritual journey, in the race that we run. Because these disciplines are what will keep us on the path, and that it will bring us for personal growth and renewal. So it's important that we exercise some of that. The next slide in Hebrews reads, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." So both verses indicates and tells us that the Christian life takes hard work. It takes discipline. It takes self-denial. And at the same time, when you're running a race, and as a coach, you have to prepare. You have to practice. And so as Christians, in our preparation, in our working hard and following many of these disciplines, we know that we're running toward the heavenly reward, not the earthly reward. And this takes us to what can happen during a race. Okay, next slide, please. Okay, there are obstacles, there's opposition. For the Christian, we call that spiritual warfare. We face that all the time. I haven't been sick a day for this whole year except this week. The 1 week where I had to prepare this message. That's an obstacle that I know was from Satan. It was an obstacle because he was trying to say, You can't present this message. You can't do it. So we know that when we run the race, that God doesn't promise us an easy life. After we accept Christ, life may be even more difficult. There are always going to be twists and turns and obstacles that we face living the Christian life. Yet when we face these obstacles, God finds a way for us to endure it so that we could continue running that race. And we know the race is a long one. It's not a short one. When you're running that race, you need to endure. And so as I coached my runners, many of them, you know, shot right out. They ran fast. They sprinted. But I've always tried to tell them that it's not how fast you run at the very beginning, how quickly you start out, but rather when they hit those hills and valleys, all right? When you run cross country, they go up hills, they go down hills. It's a trail that is not easy. And as Christians in life, it's when we hit those hills and valleys, that if we don't adjust, right, it stops us cold. We're not able to continue. We slow down. Sometimes we just drop out because we're so tired. So what causes us to drift away, to stop when we're running that race? Where we don't abide in Christ anymore, and when we say, it's too hard, life is too hard, I have to stop. In one way or another, the spiritual sin of pride and autonomy or selfishness usually heads that list. Many times we may be driven because we think we're better than we really are. Many times we're inspired by this insecurity, and therefore it drives us. There's an unwillingness on our part to learn from others, which is also pride. We compare ourselves, and there's envy in our heart because someone else has a nicer house, a nicer car, whatever it might be. And that also is selfishness on our part. We refuse to submit to authority. Once again, that's pride. We don't allow someone else, right, to tell us where we could improve or how we could do better. And many other times it's just bitterness toward God because of some pain that's been inflicted or some problems that we face. And we blame God and we say, that's the end of it, I'm leaving. These are the things, the obstacles in the Christian life that we all face that we need to overcome. So all of this can cause us not to finish. But I want to encourage you that we can finish and that we can finish well. So this is the finish line. But finishing well is not guaranteed to us apart from the grace of God. So it's God's grace that allows us to finish. So one of the things that we need to focus on, here's a cough drop, that we need to focus on Christ rather than just avoiding sin, thinking that that's going to help us to finish well. So the more that we love Christ, the more confidence we have in Him. And as I continue, I know that sin is always right there at the door. And it's only God's grace that has spared me from more pain, from more heartache, from the things that happened to me in life that would then cause me to say, forget it. I don't need to be a Christian anymore, and to step away. But we also know that there is hope. So as I mentioned, there are a couple of tools that I want to share with you, or attributes that we need to have so that we can finish well. The first is spending time with God. So if we spend more time with God, and I know I've made it a priority to spend more time with myself, and my wife and I are spending more time with God as we pray and as we read God's Word together. When we read it, sometimes we're overwhelmed, and we end up crying, we end up saying and realizing that God loves us so much that He's even allowed all these different things to happen. And it's also sometimes when we're spending time with Him that we realize how much we have drifted from God. So I know that I need to be more disciplined. I need to be more faithful in reading His Word. I need to be more faithful in serving Him. And so as I've been doing this, I find that God has opened me up for change. And that's not too easy, because the older you get, the harder it is to change habits. You all know that you have habits, and the more that you do it, the more difficult it is to change. The second is to cultivate a humble and a teachable spirit. That means we need to be more open and vulnerable. We need to be able to develop better listening skills. We need to listen to people. And at the same time, we know that all of these require time. It requires an effort. And it requires understanding. I know most of my life, when problems would arise, I would either lose my temper, I would be defensive, I would argue, and I would react. And I guess this is the way I related many times to people in my own family. But I've learned now that through prayer and spending time with God, a lot of these habits are starting now to shift. And God has now given me a better ability to listen. And as people share with me, I'm able to understand better what they're thinking. And I'm opening myself to hearing more from my wife, even though a lot of times I want to close it and not listen. If I didn't let Josh speak into my life and speak about my retirement, you know, I'd still be working. I would still be in, I guess, that rat race. And so, you know, we've learned now as a family, and we've been trying to listen more to each other. And now for the men in this room, as husbands, as leaders, as fathers, I think we all need a reminder that we need to grow in this area and to develop this ability to hear what people are saying to us. We know that pride, if you look at the word pride, and you look at the word sin, what's common is the letter I. It's in the middle of both words. So it's what I want. It's what I say. It's what you're going to do. And so that's pride and that's sin. And so if we can avoid that, and we want what God wants and not what we want, that will carry us more. A third area is to pursue spiritual growth. We need to surround ourselves with godly people. People who are more mature than us, so that we can learn from them. If we have strong, healthy Christian relationships that we can model after, this will carry us further along in the race. They can be with people that we have relationships with now, people that are alive, but they can also be with people that are dead. Why? Because they've written books. My wife has built up this huge collection of Christian books, which will take me the rest of my life to read. But yet, many of these books are from strong Christian men of faith and women. We have books written by women as well. And these books will enhance my spiritual growth and maturity. Personally, I've been trying to attend different Christian conferences, spending time. We went to the church planting conference. We've been to a college of prayer, the Be Encouraged. So any opportunities that we can find that we think that we can benefit and grow from is what I think is so important to enhance spiritual maturity. And that's given me, I guess, what they call more legs. It gives you greater strength. It gives me greater endurance to keep on going when I know I could relate to so many of these other individuals who can encourage me with their words and with their actions. And then the last area is an ongoing ministry investment in the lives of others. Excuse me. So we know that God has sacrificed himself. He's poured his life into ours. And so really that's an example for us that we need to invest in the lives of others. No matter how long it takes, no matter how hard it gets, that we all should have a tremendous burden for the lost. Because God wants us to be just like him. Because God had that burden for the lost. He had that burden for you and for me. And as he sacrificed his son, he made that commitment, that investment into people. So personally, God has opened my eyes to the needs of the lost. The couple of missions trips that I've been on, the opportunities to hear from missionaries and the work and the sacrifice that they make and the investment they make into people that they don't know. Many in countries they're not even familiar with. Many that they don't know the language. But yet, they want to make an investment in people. So in my retirement, it would be easy for me to say, well, the race is over for me. I've done my share. I'm moving on. But this is what it says in Hebrews 6. It says, we want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end. And in the last book of Revelations, it says, to the one who is victorious and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. So we need to hold firmly on to this conviction to the very end. In conclusion, in running the race and finishing well, it's as simple as this. Knowing that God is faithful, that his covenant of love to 1,000 generations are for those who love him and keep his commandments. So yes, he gives us many promises, he blesses us, but yet there's something that we need to do on our part as well. So simply, if we devote daily time into our personal communication with God, if we spend daily time in God's Word, and if we remain faithful, you saw in that verse that God is faithful, but yet we need to remain faithful as well. Let me close with these last two verses. In Acts 20:24. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. The task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. So if anything, it's God's grace that has given me the strength and that will give you the strength as well to run that race and to finish well. So in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Very, very simple. We're in a battle. We're in a race, but we want to finish it, and we want to finish it well. And as I mentioned, it's easy to start out gung-ho. And again, you know, I've mentioned this maybe a few times. There are some people that will be sitting next to you that might not be there 5 years, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, whatever it might be. There'll be empty chairs next to some of you because they have not finished the race. And so that's my encouragement, okay? And all of you who are wearing the bracelets, I want to encourage you to finish well. Let's pray. Father, as a loving and faithful God, we have that assurance, we have your promises that you are with us, that you will strengthen us, lift us up when we face those obstacles, when we face problems in life. We know where we could turn to, Lord. We pray that as we continue running this race, Lord, that we meet the needs of others, that we see what role each of us can play in your kingdom. Because we all need to fight the fight. We all need to finish the race. We all need to keep the faith. Grant us your grace and your mercy, Lord. For we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.